Comedian Dulce Sloan. Make sure you check me out on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, The Great North, which is a cartoon that comes out on Fox, my podcast, That Black Ass Show, and I'm in the movie Chick Fight that you can see on demand. Bye. Thank you so much. How do I say your last name?
Cosa.
Cosa. I was saying it right. Cosa. Hey. We figured it off. They pulled us off the continent, but we can figure some shit out.
When I first met Dulce, I said to you, when are you coming to South Africa? Remember? And you said, Trevor keeps promising that we're going to come and eat Nando's. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, Trevor keeps promising us we're going to go. And he's always like, because he was like, oh, Dulce, you don't understand. To be to somewhere where it is owned by Black people. And I was like, I'm from Atlanta. It's owned by Black people. He's like, no. It's not the same. It's not the same. I was like, all right, Negro. If I ain't seen the continent yet. So until you put me on that bitch, I'm not listening to none of this right now.
How is it feeling not being able to go to work? Because if there's one thing I always say about your guys' work environment, it feels like home. It feels like there's little corners of people having a good time by themselves. You know, I've never been to a work environment that much fun. How does it feel not being at work?
We got our pockets. I think I miss being like, I don't know if you ever came to like Josh Johnson, his office, because it's like, there's some days where, like, if it's around like 3 or something, where it's like right before rehearsal, or it's that time after rehearsal and before we start taping the show, mm-hmm. and it just ends up like a bunch of the Black people end up in Josh's office, which is funny because one of Josh's office mates is a white dude, Devin, but Devin gets it, so. You know, because we had a running joke one day where Devin, every time he left, because he was like working on a piece for the show, and every time he came back, there was a new Black person in the office. Because it's not like there's a call or anything. We're just like, you know, we don't throw up like, you know, a Black power fist in the kitchen and all the Black people go to the office. It's just some days where everyone was like, I wonder what's going on at Josh's office. And all of us end up in there, which is funny because there's 3 people already sitting in this office. And then you add 6 more Black folks in this office. So it's always hot in there. But it's like, because one day I was like, yo, we should campaign to get this other office because their office is bigger. And they're like, they're not going to do that. I was like, I think we need to make some calls. Because, I mean, one day it was like 3 of us, 3 or 4 of us sitting on a 3-person couch. Then literally somebody sitting on the filing couch, somebody else sitting on the armored couch. Somebody behind the door, somebody in between the space between, and we're just in there just vibing. But, and then there's other days you're just in your office by yourself going, well, they'll eat a piece of fruit or something.
there's always food in that office. That's what I love. I think one memory that I have is I almost got interns fired. What happened was I had gone to the ground floor. Is that what you call it? By the control rooms?
Mm-hmm.
And there's where I think they keep it. It's just a cold room. That's all I'm gonna say about it. It's almost like when you watch Silicon Valley, it's where they keep the processors, the computer processors. But it's just like air, fans blowing, and it's cold. So I wandered to that side, and I found 4 young people hanging out there in the cold. Then I asked them, "What are you guys doing here?" They're like, "No, we work here. We're interns." Then I said, "But it's cold down here." Then they said, "No, we're fine. We're having a good time." And then I made the mistake. I went to Trevor. So I was like, man, you have to do something about this. He was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, there's just these kids down there, man. And it's noisy and it's cold. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, down there, there's kids. And they say they're interns, but I'm sure they were there to pick up something. He's like, no, that's where they hang out. And I'm like, yeah, but don't you think they should be at a better place? Then he was like, he looked at me like I was crazy. So there we were. Walking, so taping was about to happen. So we're walking down the corridor, and guess who I see? One of the interns. I'm like, yeah, there's one of them. They don't like it down there. And then the guy was like,
you trying to be an advocate for somebody that's not asking you for nothing. You trying to Martin Luther King a situation, and they were fine. They were fine. The thing is, they have designated areas where they're supposed to be, because sometimes, you know, some it's if they're in between, like, a sign, like, jobs that they're doing.
Yes.
They're in a specific place, so you can just be like, so you can just grab one to do whatever you need them to do. But they know where they're supposed to be.
Oh man, they tried to explain to me. They were like, no, we're fine. Because I think in their heads, they thought I was an intern as well. So they were like, why are you asking us so many questions? I was like, no, but if you guys don't like it down here, maybe there's a better place that you can be. Isn't there another place where they're like, no, we're okay, truly. And then I bumped into one of them. That was the weirdest thing ever. When I bumped into one of them and I said, look, here's one of them. You don't like it down there, do you? And then he was just like, geez, man. Then the guy was like, no, we're fine. We're just, oh man, just kept his head down and kept walking.
You jumped your first day. How you sitting up and assessing situations? You telling these kids what they shouldn't be doing. You just got here. You trying to colonize the office. That's what you tried to do. You try to colonize them interns. I get it. We come from a colonist history. You can only go by what people have taught you. You try to colonize these interns. You tried to move them off their land into somewhere that you thought was better. And they're like, no, we like our land. We're here. We're doing everything we're supposed to be doing. And you were like, no. No, you're in the wrong place. And it was exactly what they were told to be. Okay. All right. I did have a question. I know Kabuka said to me one day, he was like, he said from watching American movies, he said he thought Black people said the N-word way more often than they actually do. Is that true? Really? I just have to say it all the time?
I think we say it more than you guys say it. Because, so my friends and I say it to each other all the time.
Yeah, I say it to my friends all the time. My brother,
but then your brain, when you're in the US, when you're speaking to someone who lives there, you say it and then they look at you like, you're like, oh, I thought.
No, you don't understand. We don't understand. It hits our ear different when we hear it with y'all's accent.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because we don't think that y'all say it. Too.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing.
Did they call y'all that? Because I know they call us that.
Oh, no. So I'm saying we just use it because of like the music and the slang and how, you know.
Wait, so what do white folks call y'all in?
We don't want to talk about that.
Okay. Do y'all use it in y'all's music or y'all just say nigga like we say nigga? Ah.
We use yours. Huh.
You use ours?
Been having a debate here, so my daughter and I, we've been talking about adoption.
You got a daughter? You ain't telling me you got no kids? The fuck?
Yeah.
How old is your daughter?
12.
How old are you?
39.
Ah, this is why they hate us. Go ahead. That's why they hate us. That's why they hate us.
So it's always just us two, right? Because we.
That's why them interns thought you was an intern. You came through with your young face. You don't know how old we are. We could be 39, be 100. Listen, I said it on stage before. Cicely Tyson is 94 years old. Kathy Lee Gifford is not.
Look, so we were having a conversation about adoption. So I said, I don't know enough Black people that have adopted anybody. You hear about white people all the time, right? So my first question was, when is it the best time to tell a kid that they adopted? And
is your daughter adopted?
No, she's not. I was just entertaining the thought. So I was asking her opinion. Because it's just us. So
you were asking your biological child, when was the best time to tell somebody that they're adopted?
Yeah, and she had an answer for me.
Okay.
She said, funny you say that. I was watching a YouTube video about it. The best age is 7 years old. They're old enough to understand, but they're young enough not to get angry. And I was like, damn. Would you adopt anybody?
Probably not.
Why? Why do Black people not believe in adoption? That's
no,
the first thing.
No, we do believe in adoption. I think we don't believe in taking care of other people's kids. I'm playing. I'm joking. I know that
Oh man.
I was, I'm being an asshole. I totally would consider. I would, but I would want to have my own children first before I adopted. I mean, I know there's a lot of kids out there, but also, listen, I've been losing eggs since I was 11, and I've looked like a mother three since I was 15. Somebody got to go to fuck up. My nickname has been Mom my entire life. I've wanted to be a mother since I was a little girl. I'm very surprised I'm not a mother right now. I did not know at 37 I would not have children. Like, that was never in the plan.
Never. So, never in the plan. There was never.
No, by the time I was this age, I would already have like two or three kids. And the fact that I have zero and no man, again, very confusing. I wake up with giant titties every day. What is the problem? You understand? If I was ugly and flat, like if I didn't have this body and this face, I would get it.
And no talent and no great job and a movie star.
Yeah, if somebody was like, it's like, what the fuck? I want a recount. Fuck Trump. I want the recount. I need to know why these numbers ain't adding up, okay?
Do you think you'd actually live with someone, Dulce? You think you'd actually cohabitate and live with someone after so long? Because I feel like there's a cutoff limit age where you can be with someone and live with them. I think that age is 30.
No, I'm lonely as fuck. So, yeah, come through. Hang out.
You would live with someone?
I'm trying to get married, ding dong. Of course I would live with somebody. They got to be at the house for us to be married, don't we? What the fuck is you saying?
You literally wake up next to someone every day for the rest of your life. Yes!
The fuck? What are you talking about? The hell are you saying? You're asking me if I don't want a dick next to me every morning? What are you talking about? I don't want to take this trash out. What are you saying? I want to wake up with somebody next to me every morning. Man, Nick, shut the fuck. What are you talking about? You don't want to be by your damn self. Nah. I don't know what you went through, but that ain't me, and that ain't what we're doing over here in the great United States. Girl is trying to catch a husband and a fetus. The fuck is you saying, dog? I don't want to lay. I've been waking up by myself for long enough. I'm fully versed in that. I got a PhD in that shit. I'm trying to learn something new, baby. The fuck is you saying? You want to be by yourself like that?
Oh, man. I don't think there's anything better in the world than to just live by yourself. By myself, I don't mean like no one else in the house. I mean like no spouse. I think even that word just makes it look. Ugh.
Where's your daughter live? With her mom?
With me. So we live together, right? Yeah. So I'm a single dad. So what I'm saying is I don't see myself with a partner, like someone who lives with me literally. Now I have to move over, choose a side of the bed, you know, like.
Okay. Yeah, all that is that you don't want nobody telling you what to do. That's all that is. You don't want anybody. Not only that, it's you the only one in charge in here. So you don't have somebody going, hey, could you listen? Could you? No, you don't want to be the holding nobody. You're probably an atheist too. Shit. Ain't nobody greater than you. Ain't nobody bigger than you. Jen Costa all around this bitch. No. I'm the only one that pay rent. I'm the only one that runs shit. You the head nigga in charge all day, every day. Let's see what happens when you turn 15 and start acting a fool.
Yeah, I'm going to be lonely as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember being a 14-year-old girl. Whoo, there's no more of it.
That's why I'm trying to adopt somebody.
So you could just have a young... Were you trying to gang up on your daughter? What are you talking about? You trying to back up? Is that what you're trying to do? You think she's not going to run the new child? What are you saying?
You sound like my sister right now. So I called my sister, who's a nurse at a hospital. So I said, look, you always tell me about these abandoned babies at the hospital. So what's the procedure? Said, no, you have to go to child services first. And then after 10 minutes of talking, she said,
you thought you could just go to a hospital and just pick up a kid? Your producer just got out of his seat. Like, honestly, maybe somebody, listen, I've never seen a white man get up and walk away from a joke. So honestly, I'm very proud right now. Your boy ran. If it wasn't for them headphones, he'd be outside right now. Right now. He'd have walked around the block, came back, sat back down.
Then she said, of course you have to go to child service. I said, okay, I knew that. Then he says, yes. And then
You didn't know that. You thought you could go down to that damn hospital where your sister stayed and be like, hey, listen, my sister, she works here. I just came to pick up a fresh one. Where you keep them at? There's the ones people want, the ones that people don't want, they on the other side, right? I just go get one, it's fine. No, Negro, no, you can't just go pick up a fresh baby. You have to get screened. They got to make sure you ain't gonna sell this child to nobody. They got to make sure you have a place to put the baby when you bring the baby home. Ain't nobody finna give you no new. You probably didn't even bring a car seat. You just walked in. You ain't had no diaper bag. You ain't had no nothing. You thought you was just gonna walk in and pick up a fresh human being, fresh out the oven, and be like, all right, I'll see y'all later. No! They have to make sure there's living conditions set up for that child, that you are a good parent to that, that you joined just some random man. You think they were gonna let a random man? Have you met men?
I never thought of that.
You thought they were gonna let a random man just pick up a baby?
But I've got a good track record. I've been doing this for how long now?
They don't know that when you walk in by yourself.
Damn,
you can't be like, listen, this is enough. Look, I've kept this human alive for 12 years. Give me one of those. No, that's not what you did. You was going to walk in by yourself, and we was just supposed to trust that this child that you showed us, like, no, this one's mine too. Uh-uh, sir. No. No one's going to give a man a fresh baby. We can't, trust it. This is why they don't even have male birth control, because even men wouldn't trust men to take it. No. You thought they were going to give you a new... How long have you lived on this earth? Like they were going to give a man. A single man? You thought they were going to give a single man a new baby? A used baby, probably. But a new one? No.
Oh, fuck. You've robbed the child of a home and dashed my dreams at the same time. Thank you.
Listen, I'm just here to be of service. I'm just here to support other Black people.
Also, tell us a story because we have a segment on the podcast.
Oh, now you want to get back on track? Now you want to stay on task? You thought that they was really going to give you a new baby, and I'm the one that, like, you know, maybe we should get back to, no. Let's get back to why the fuck your Black ass thought that they was going to let you walk into any hospital in your country and just walk out with a fucking person. What's wrong with you? You probably didn't even have a carrier or nothing. You probably just brought a backpack. Like, slide them in there. I'll break them home. It's fine. Completely fucking unprepared. You probably ain't no formula, no nothing. You just gonna walk in. This ain't like getting a puppy, that's a person. And even when you adopt a dog, they still ask questions.
That's what my sister said. She was like, don't you want to start with a dog first?
You don't have to start with a dog. You already have a whole person. You're a single dad, you've kept her alive for 12 years, God bless. But I can't believe that you just thought that you were going to be able to walk into a hospital and walk out with a baby. No questions asked. You thought you was going to, like, listen, I got $50 on me. What you want to do with this baby? I got a credit card. I can pay in installments. How much is this baby? What did you, please tell me, fuck a story. Tell me your thought process into this.
Wait, so my sister always tells me about how these kids get abandoned at the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. So she always says, no, she feels sorry for them. But the fact of the matter is we haven't spoken about these kids, these abandoned kids, for almost a year now. So we talk about everything else apart from these kids. So now when I called her today to ask her about it, so the first thing she said, you know, you have to get screened, right? Then I was like, yeah, of course I knew that. But in my head, I thought you get screened just like Amazon screens you or Netflix screens you when you put your card. And then they quickly just go, no, you're fine. Put your last three digits. You're good to go. So she was like, no, you need to get screened. And I was like, okay, but now you told me about these babies that get abandoned there at the hospital. So how does it work? Do I just walk in there with a caseworker and then I pick one like I would at the SPCA, you know? And she was like, no, it doesn't work like that. They give you what's available. Then I said, no, what if I don't like what's available? Then she's like, it doesn't work like that. You
still get to pick one.
Yes,
but that is the ones that are available. You don't want to take home an ugly one. That's wild. Who the fuck want to raise an ugly baby?
Then I said, look, so they give me stock from what's available. Then she's like, yes, because there's a certain gap that they, if the newborns, they keep them in hospital for 3 weeks and then they have to go to the foster homes or the other caregivers. And then there's a list of people that want to adopt the children. But then if you want to adopt them straight from hospital, you can do that. But if you are already on the list, but if you come to the hospital, then you get what you get. Does it make sense? So if there's 2 week old ones and there's four of them, you pick from there.
No, this process is fucked up. That's the issue. So you're telling me if I stay at the house, I can pick one. But if I come down to where they live, to where you keep them at.
Yes.
Then I just get what I get.
Yes, that's exactly what she said. And I said, why? She said, look, because at the hospital, you get to see most people that adopt the kids want to see what the parents look like, or at least one of the parents. So they go, oh, that's the mom. That's the, okay, okay. But now when they're at the home, they're mixed bag. So if you and your application and your partner, you said you wanted a daughter, they'll just say, we've got stock. We've got four daughters and three sons. Come pick one. Then you don't know any of the heritage, you don't know what the parents look like, you don't know if they had any drug problems, you don't know if there's any other issues with the child. So she says people try to short circuit the system and come to the hospital and see the parents and get the medical history right quick, and then they end up going, oh, the mom drank a lot, no thank you.
So the mother's just sitting at the hospital for 3 weeks waiting for this baby to get adopted?
No. They sit at the hospital. They leave the baby so that you can come pick them up as they are born. But the maximum that the kid can stay at the hospital before they get shipped out, like Amazon packages, is 3 weeks.
Before they are sent to a home, not shipped out. This is why they're probably not going to get anyone. Because you thought all you had to do was put in a CVV number and then they was going to give you a whole person.
That's how I got my Amazon account. So I was like, okay. So she was like, no, it's not that easy. Start with a dog first. Then I was like, no. Then she was like, you have to think about adoption. Then she turned me off of adoption same time. She was like, what if you adopt this child and then they grow up and they're full of shit and they forget that you rescued them from living in a foster home? Then I was like, damn, I never thought of that.
Yeah. But think about
you and my sister work for the same agency.
But think about people who give birth to children who grow up to not be shit and don't give a fuck that your parents kept you alive. So that could happen even with the child that you are genetically connected to.
Yes. So my sister's not a good advocate for adoption. Then I said, what happened to that bleeding heart nurse that I met a year ago? And then she says, no, I'm sick of these kids. They cry too much. And 3 weeks is too long. Then I was like, damn, sis.
I think your sister needs to change concentration. Maybe maternity nursing is not for her. Maybe, and probably not geriatric nursing, because that's just, this is the beginning of life. So why would she want to be at the end of life? Because they're still crying and pooping and peeing, but now they're 90. So maybe she needs to catch people in the middle, you know, like somebody who's only fucking with people in their 30s and their 40s. Like, what's that? Like,
so that was the topic of the day today. I was going to start the process. I was going to go see a caseworker. I was going to put my application in. And then that conversation with my sister kind of got me shaky. And now this one with you, when you're going, are they going to let me walk out with a fresh human being? Man, I think a child just lost a home because of you guys. So I'm done for.
No, nigga. A child lost a home because you don't know how the world works. That's what happened. if this was really on your heart to help some kids, my conversation, your sister conversation wouldn't have changed nothing. If you could get changed, if your mind could get changed by this small amount of information, you wasn't about that life in the first place.
Jose, are you telling me that what you, the roast that you just put me through was small amounts of information?
No, the roast I put you through is because your black ass did not know that you just can't walk down to a hospital and pick up a child. It had nothing to do with the process of adopting a child and raising a child that someone has given up. That's not what we were talking about. What we were talking about is that you don't know how the world works because you actually thought that they were going to let a single grown man walk out with a human being. That's what the roast was. It had nothing to do with your ability as a parent. I'm sure your daughter's a very young, lovely young lady who's very well-mannered. She's probably very pretty. You thought that they were just going to give you a kid if you just walked down to the hospital.
That's what experience.
No, the experience of you walking out of a hospital with a baby is because you made that baby.
Damn.
You made that baby. So they let you leave with it because your DNA is in it. That's why they let you walk out with that baby. You can't just go to a hospital and get anyone. They let you leave with the one that you made. There's a process to get one that somebody else made. What is wrong with you? Why do we let men... See, anytime I have conversations like this, I'm like, how are y'all how are y'all all not dead? How are you all not dead? There's so many times as a woman that I have stopped a man from doing something wild that could have got him killed.
You and after all of this, you want to live with one?
Like I said, I'm going to be the one that keeps him from dying. Don't stand on that. Put that down. Turn off the power before you put, like, there. That's all we're here to do is just keep, it's the wildest thing to me. Well, before any man, like, it's, I see the difference with my homeboys when they have a girlfriend and when they don't have a girlfriend.
You see it?
Yes.
What do you see? What is the one thing that stands out when you're like, okay, you've changed, nigga?
He knows where his wallet is. He knows where his keys are. He knows where his phone is. He's appropriately dressed for the weather. All of his clothes are mainly weather. You're just like, it's too cold for what you're wearing. It's too hot for what you're wearing. This is the weather is wrong. Why are you wearing suede shoes? Like, there's all of these little things. They always just look, and then you start seeing gaining weight. I'm like, oh, or losing weight, where it's like, there's always a difference in weight where it's like, oh, either you started eating vegetables.
Yes.
You stopped eating nonsense. You're not out all night drinking. Like, there's just different, there's just things that you see. And it's not just that, it's when you see someone get in a relationship, especially comics. Mm-hmm. Where you can see, oh, you're taking care of yourself differently because you can't be out all night. There's someone asking you, where the hell are you at? Or it's you're not out all night because you want to go home because there's someone there.
Hmm.
So you're not feeling, it's like, well, there's nobody at my house anyway. Might as well get litty.com. Right? So you can't see the difference.
And drink these gasolinas.
Right. And drink these gasolinas. You know, we out here because you're not at the diner late night getting nonsense. So it's, you know, you're not up all night. You're going to bed. You're not drinking all night. You're not out. Or some people, depending on who they're with, are still doing that. So, but you can see a lot of times, especially with men, when they get in a relationship with somebody, especially with comics, because it's like, well, isn't he usually out so far? Oh, he's got a girlfriend. Oh. But where's such, oh, they've got a boyfriend. Oh, yeah. I met his boyfriend. His boyfriend ain't about that life. He had to go home. So you'll see a difference with someone when they're in a relationship with somebody. But, I mean, I do whatever I want. It's been a long time since the girl's been in a relationship.
Also, tell us the craziest story that has ever happened to you, or the thing that has ever happened to you.
The crazy thing that ever happened to me.
Besides the fact that you couldn't smuggle gasolinas in a suitcase.
Son of a bitch. I should have planned ahead. I should have fucking planned ahead. I had a giant suitcase with me. I didn't think. They didn't have gasoline in the airport. They had all these stupid bottles of rum and Coquito and all this other shit. I'm like, no, nigga, where's gasoline? So I couldn't get it back here. And I would have treasured it like a fine gem. Oh man, so many crazy things have happened to me. I can tell you something nuts that happened when I was in Puerto Rico shooting this movie.
Yeah.
So it was, we had the last day of shooting. We were wrapped because we filmed the whole movie in like 17, 18 days. So we're wrapped and we go to a wrap party with this fancy hotel, but the kitchen's closed before we got there. There's no food. Everybody's hungry. Like, fuck it. There's a sushi restaurant. Actually, I had some pretty good sushi in Puerto Rico. Because if I think about it, the ocean's right there. So my friend was like, sushi in Puerto Rico? I was like, it's fish and rice. Who can't? It's fish and rice. Calm down. So we're at this restaurant. So it's me and the PA that I was friends with. And it's like some people from production. So it's like hair, makeup, wardrobe, one of the camera operators, one of the grips. We're all sitting. And so they're there. They've already eaten. And so me and Danny Zard, the PA, and our wardrobe head, Kia Bonds, we come and sit down. And when we're walking in, I look at this. There's like a little area you can't sit in. I see a drip on the ceiling. And I don't know what y'all school tell. It's like the water has, it just looked like a giant just boob hanging from the ceiling. So like the tile had dipped in where the water had gone in. So it's just like a C cup just hanging from the ceiling. And I looked up and I was like, oh damn, that's going to fall in. But not tonight, right? So it was a little drip, but it wasn't anything where it's just like, this is an imminent problem. Like if this was an issue, they wouldn't let us sit here. So it wasn't like dripping hard. There wasn't anything to catch. It's like, oh, it's a little puddle on the floor. Sure, it's drying up. It's fine. It rained, you know, whatever. So I go to sit down and I would have been closest to the drip and Danny Zard, he's like, hey, switch seats with me. I don't want that to drip on you. And I was like, oh, that's nice. So we're sitting there, we're talking. And you know, while you're working on a movie, they give you per diem. And so I had some per diem left and I was like, you know what? I got some per diem left. Let me just pay for the whole meal for everybody. Everybody was really great. Everybody was really nice. You know, let me just pay for the food. As I have this thought, I hear a sound and then something hits me in my head. And when I open my eyes, it's a sound, something hits me in my head, and then I hear a crash. And so what has happened is that while we were sitting there, the ceiling gave way. And so because Daniel Zard told me to change seats, the water didn't get, but it wasn't the water that got on us. It was the fucking ceiling tile covered plate. And I was enjoying my food. It was very good. Whole plate covered in ceiling tile. I'm ceiling tile. Daniel Zard is ceiling tile. And then it came across the table, knocked Kia's tea over onto her grass, you know, cup breaks on the floor, all of this other shit. And my next thought was, I guess I figured out how to pay for dinner because there's no way you can charge me if the fucking ceiling fell on my head. And so he's covered in ceiling tile. And then Omar, one of the hairstylists, he comes up. He's like, oh, dulce. And he's like, and my whole afro was out. So he's pulling ceiling tile out of my afro. And so the waiter comes over and goes, what happened? And I said, I'm the owner of this restaurant. That's what happened. And he's like, huh? And I said, soy la dueña de este restaurante. The ceiling fell in. I own this place now. I'm your boss. What are we doing? And so they were like, and I was like, oh no, and I saw like them getting ready to pay the bill. I was like, no, you're not paying no bill. Nobody's paying a bill. He's like, what? I said, the ceiling tile just paid the bill. You understand? I'm sitting there talking to him and Omar's pulling ceiling tile out of my afro. Danny starts shaking it off in his hat. And he was like, do you want any more to eat? I was like, no, I don't want nothing else from y'all. And what made me so mad is I was so hungry. My food was so good. But now it was covered in fiberglass because I could not eat the food because it was covered in fucking ceiling tile. And so, and then the waiter's trying to get like, I was like, he's like, well, do you want to talk to the owner? I said, I am the owner. I don't think you understand. The ceiling caved in. I'm now everybody in here's boss. You understand what I'm talking about right now? And then he was like, well, we can move you to another table. Because I was like, no, I don't want nothing else from y'all. We're getting the fuck out of here. And it was nuts because he had a bit of an attitude. And I was looking, I was like, are you getting an attitude with me? And Danny's, and I was like, let's go. And then when our friends came in and still got something to go, and I was like, no. I was like, they with us, they food is free. The people over there sitting down, they everybody food in here is free because a fucking ceiling just caved in. And they're like, okay, you gotta go. My friend's like, wait, what? You're really? And I was like, oh, I'm not upset. This is not me upset. This is me just assessing a situation. And I thought it was done. And I thought we were finished. And I get outside and something is stabbing me. And I had to reach down into my shirt. And I'm just pulling out pieces of fucking ceiling. I thought it was just in my hair. And I was like, what's poking me in my bra? Ceiling tile. I'm standing outside talking to the... And I'm just like... I was about to go back inside. And I was like, well, I don't... But I'm still... And Dana Zark goes, you want to get gasolina? And I was like, yes! Of course I want gasolina! What else would I want right now? Of course I do! And there's a sports bar across the street that had frozen, slushy gasolina. So I drank gasolina until everything was fine.
Oh, man. If there's one thing that you made me want to do during this podcast was...
drink gasolina?
Go to Puerto Rico and drink gasolina and not adopt a baby. That's all you've done for me today, and that's enough.
Listen, there are lots of children out there that need a home. I'm not saying that you... Well, maybe if you're not sure about it, maybe think about being a foster parent.
Yeah. I will try it. I will try it. Actually, it's a good idea.
And then you don't have to fully commit to the kid. You just hang out with one, and then, you know... somebody wants to adopt them. Because, like, a lot of times, like, it just depends. Like, foster parents, and I mean, I think with here, foster parents get, like, a stipend or get paid to take care of them kids. So, instead of you spending all the money to get one, you could lease the own.